This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
We don't get too technical around here. We try to have a good time. We like to appeal to as many people as possible, whether you're a marginal fan or you're a rabid fan. So I hear from a lot of women who think it's really neat that they have someone they can identify with on the radio. Then I hear from a lot of men who either think it's sexy or hot. And then there is the segment of the audience that hates me. But the thing is, they still listen just to fuel their obsession. I understand there are some of you who are just normal sports radio listeners too. Although, this day and age, how does one define normal? No such thing as normal, no such thing as perfect. Those two things don't exist in our world.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Good morning to you. It's Tuesday, Thanksgiving Tuesday. It's also Touchdown Tuesday, and because I can't help it, because the dog is so dang cute, even though she's trouble, it's a Trouble Tuesday, and I just put up a couple new photos. Pete, I can't resist. I know we haven't officially adopted her yet, and I'm sure I'll feel totally dumb if something happens that derails it. And if she would bite someone, of course, that would be the case. But she's been extremely sweet and friendly and lovable and affectionate. The only time that she wasn't was when she felt like she was cornered and my husband reached for her collar. Again, wasn't yelling at her, wasn't being mean to her, just was trying to get her so that she would get off the curtains and into the crate. And that must have triggered something with her. But I just shared a couple new photos because she is, yeah, she needs a lot of love, but she is a lot of love with tons of energy, slobbery kisses. I'm just going to be doing extra laundry and no sense of personal space whatsoever.
I think what I said before rings true a little more. Thanksgiving weekend. Get through Thanksgiving weekend. And I think if it's a good show,
it'll calm down.
Mm-hmm. I think you're onto something. But I think Thanksgiving weekend's big.
It's actually dawns on me that this is like kids, right? They give you a ton of love. They've got high energy, slobbery kisses. Sometimes it involves food and other things that they're chomping on. Oh my gosh, the dog ate leaves yesterday. We're outside, we're taking a walk. She's sniffing. She's got a great keen sense of smell, a good sniffer. I hear her chomping. just eating a pile of leaves on the side of the road. And she comes up and, of course, she's got slobber with her leaves like stuck to her. I'm like, give me those things. And she thinks it's a game. Yes. So like a kid with no sense of personal space, too. I remember my nieces when they were little, whenever we would sleep in the same bed or we would ride next to each other or go somewhere, always body parts had to be touching me. Always. Toes, fingers.
Legs.
Legs draped on me. My favorite niece story that I tell about a baseball game. She was younger. She was like maybe 11 or 12, my younger niece. And I took them to a game at Nationals Park in D.C. when at first pitch it was 99 degrees and it was hotter than Hades. It was so humid. It was gross. Anyway, that didn't really matter to Lauren because she was always leaner. She was draped over me. So at one point in the game, she's laying on me. Auntie Amy, I'm bored. Can we go get some ice cream? But like doing it by laying on me. That's kids though, right? And also dogs.
That's right.
Yeah, so definitely going to get her own bed right now. We gave up on the crate for now. We're going to get her own bed to lay on because pretty soon she's going to steal daisies if we don't get another one.
Or yours.
Or, right? I mean, just standing leap. She doesn't even need to get a running start. She just takes one leap and bang, she's right on the top of any piece of furniture.
Next, she'll start walking around the house reading the newspaper.
I feel like I have to baby-proof the house that I don't have a baby.
My sister-in-law has a dog that's a similar size,
mm-hmm.
and it's the same thing. You gotta make sure the gates are there. You gotta make sure the door.
And there's cat food and there's dog food that's not hers, and there's water everywhere and there's mud everywhere, and yeah. All right, so.
And a big lug, too.
Oh, she's a big lug, but also a big love. So the photos are up on my own Twix at A-Law Radio. I'll put them up on Facebook when I have a chance. I can't resist because she's very photogenic. And when she falls asleep, she's dead to the world. That's the funny part. All of a sudden, just collapses. Also like a kid. She's out. Just, that's it.
That's a good thing.
It is.
That's a good thing.
She plays well. At some point, I will make sure we get a video of the tug of war because that is hysterical. It's really funny. So thank you again for caring. You all are very sweet. A little extra to be thankful for and also a little extra to clean this holiday week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
If you are able to take in the dog, I'm going to get the dog a big giant spool, those electrical spools, and it's going to be a rope.
Nice. So we can spool it in. We can wind it in when she wants to play tug-of-war.
Load it from the backyard.
It is her favorite thing. She pulls with all of her might. And it's really funny because she outweighs Daisy by 60 pounds. And Daisy, by the way, is the other dog in the photo. There was a truce when they were both sitting at the front door looking out. They're just waiting for some unsuspecting dummy to walk by. And so when she and Daisy have either end of the rope toy, Daisy just gets pulled along. It's so funny. Along the tile floor, the dog's backing up, and Daisy's just sliding along with her.
and the other truce is don't bother the cat.
Right. That's exactly the case. I'm telling you, the cat's 7 pounds and has not backed down even an inch. This was my house first, you big galoot.
That's right.
Yeah. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, as I say. Good morning to you. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. I know Tuesday, especially around big cities, is the first start of the getaway process for Thanksgiving. And there are more than 80 million people who are traveling this Thanksgiving. Coming up on Sunday, which, as a side note, is December 1st. What? What? That's the heaviest and busiest travel day of the entire year, with more Americans on the move via car and plane than at any other time. That makes me want to break out in hives. Last year, I flew on the Sunday morning after Thanksgiving. Thank goodness it wasn't terrible. But I dare not test fate again. So this year, staying home, hosting, which is why I need your Thanksgiving meal horror stories, because I need to feel better if something goes wrong with the turkey. This is a great one. Peter, you ready? On our Facebook page, I told you Facebookers were going to come in with some good stories. And this is, well, I hope I don't do this. So, you know how you put the turkey in the oven, right? And the oven has a door, okay, right? So you got to close the oven door. Well, according to Rachel, she said about 40 years ago with 25 people over, my mom went to check on a dish in the oven and the entire door just fell off. So that was the end of the cooking process. Well, I feel like if that doesn't happen in my kitchen, then I'm ahead of the game.
Just fell off?
It just fell off, she said. So Rachel goes on. Needless to say, pizza was ordered. We still kid her, but it was hilarious. Yeah, so she opens up the kitchen door, and all of a sudden, there is no more door. Could you imagine? You're halfway through cooking your turkey. Oh, yeah. No.
I wonder what stays open during Thanksgiving. For those
Chinese food,
yes, for those types of incidents where a door can fall off the oven,
or someone can light something on fire,
right, or whatnot, you would think, like you said, Chinese food, maybe some pizza places, but not long. You're gonna have to get that order in before anything else.
Right. I think a lot of Asian places stay open only because that's kind of a tradition for some people, but also, it depends upon your history, like how long you've been in the United States, whether or not you celebrate Thanksgiving, that kind of thing. Like my sister-in-law is Filipino. Her family, they moved here when she was 12, and so they've been celebrating Thanksgiving for a long time. But I do know there are plenty of people that go out for Chinese as well. Anyway, we'll share some more of your stories because misery loves company, you know, and I'm just nervous about something going horribly wrong. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. Again, at A-Law Radio and on our Facebook page. Wrapping up week 12 with about, I don't know, 4 hours before we kick off week 13 on Thanksgiving. According to the NFL, it's a Madden Thanksgiving, so you have to check that out on their Twix. Game between the Chargers and the Ravens. Now, this was billed as the Harbaugh Bowl, but also a really critical game for both of these teams. Couple of things that I'll take away. First of all, the Ravens are a very potent offense. After starting in the hole 10-0, they're able to rattle off a bunch of points, a bunch of touchdowns. Not only does Lamar Jackson scamper in from 10 yards out, but he's able to chuck the ball deep to a receiver that he's developed quite a connection with.
Lamar's in the gun. Flowers is receiver on the move. Shotgun snap, left tackle block. Winding up, long spiral pass, arching far side. Intercepted on a back pedal. Falling down in the end zone, Fulton. But the flag was thrown. And they call it a touchdown.
It definitely was a touchdown. The flag was on the defense. And Lamar drops it in just a little bit short. But Rashad is able to turn around, even with the defense draped all over him, able to turn around in motion, faces quarterback, and the ball falls right into his breadbasket. A couple of really sweet connections with Zay Flowers as well when they needed to move the chains. They were really efficient on third and fourth down in this game. It helps when you've got a bell cow like Derrick Henry. Did you all see the fourth and one where he goes 27 yards through that Chargers defense? But he's not the only option. Mark Andrews is becoming more and more involved in the offense. He had a leaping catch for a touchdown on the back of the end zone and was able to get both of his big feet in bounds. They did check it, but yes, the ball was secure and his feet were dragged. But how about when you've got other options besides Lamar and Derrick Henry who can take the handoff and go?
Hill, the running back, Jackson in the gun. The 49-yard line of Baltimore, third and two. Shotgun snap. Handoff, Hill runs laterally. Stiff arms, breaks a tackle, 50. Got a block, 40 on the numbers, 30. Far side, foot race, 20. Far sideline, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Or did he step out of bounds? Let's see where they're marking. Oh, it is a touchdown. Walking the tightrope down the far side.
Kevin Harlan, along with Kurt Warner, with the call of Westwood 1 in Monday Night Football. I mean, there were some good things for the Chargers. Justin Herbert looked like he was in a nice rhythm. I know that they lost J.K. Dobbins, which definitely hampers what they can do offensively, so we'll wait to find out what happened with their top running back, but some type of a knee injury, so he didn't play in the second half, and Jim Harbaugh didn't have an update on him after the game, just that it was a knee. And so once the Ravens were able to get rolling, I think this game is a great indicator of how many different ways they can hurt you. And when you look at Lamar's numbers, I would encourage you to not so much look at the yardage or look at the number of passes that he throws or even tack on his rushing yardage and say, oh, okay, well, he's well over Well, actually, in this game, he wasn't. He was shy of 200 yards. Don't look at that. Look at the efficiency. He is tops in the NFL right now in passer rating and tops in the NFL in QBR. He is running an efficient offense, a tight ship, if you will. And this guy is able to see and process better. I think the fact that he takes ownership of the offense and that the second-year offensive coordinator, Greg Monken, involves him in the game planning and that he can adjust at the line of scrimmage, all of this comes along with being a more mature quarterback, and that's where Lamar Jackson is right now. We're going to call her early if you missed it, who is talking about numbers and how Lamar is in all this and he's a below-average quarterback. The guy might have been drunk. He set himself up. I mean, he put the ball on a tee and just told me to hit it out of the park, which I did. So you can go back to, was that the second hour, first hour? First hour, I think, right?
Yeah.
Second hour?
Yeah.
Yeah, just go and listen to the podcast because it's, I almost felt bad for the guy. This was after the first guy who was snoring, by the way. That was amazing. Pete's got it all on tape, so you will. Oh, yeah, you're going to hear it. That's him. He was starting up a lawnmower or he was snoring, one or the other. Anyway, we poor Robert in Detroit. We had fun at his expense, but he doesn't know because he was sleeping. So what's the difference? So Lamar is playing some wicked quarterback right now. And if not for his running back, his backfield mate, Derrick Henry, and that other dude named Saquon, well, he might be running away with another MVP award. But 212 rushing yards once again for Derrick Henry and Justice Hill and the other, well, Lamar in there too. And this is quite a weapon, even though everybody knows that's what they want to do. And even though they're running the ball, they're still averaging better than 30 points per game. Derrick Henry has been a steal.
Great all-around back, man. I can't like give him credit enough for how locked in he is, you know, and how dynamic he is. He just, I always say this, you know, King Henry, the name just fits him well, you know, very well.
And he empowers other guys around him, too. He's a professional. I've heard crazy stories, reports about the amount of money he spends, thousands and thousands of dollars every week to stay in shape, to try to take care of his body, which, of course, injuries happen, but it's that critical to him at 30 years old. And then he opens up holes and opens up opportunities for other guys as well. You always have to game plan for the king, of course. And this was kind of fun. He was asked after the game, because he had 140 yards on the ground. He was asked after the game about Saquon Barkley, who still has the very narrow lead in the NFL's rushing race.
First of all, Saquon, slow your ass down. Damn. Damn. But nah, he's a hell of a player, man. They're a hell of a team. You know, they've been doing a great job as a team. How many games they won? Like 9 straight, I think, or something like that. But as far as running backs, man, we just want to go out there and do our job effectively, show that the position matters.
I think that the Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley race through the end of the year will be a lot to pay attention to and a lot of fun.
Slow your ass down.
Slow your ass down. I don't know why I said it like that. Slow your ass down is essentially what he said. This reminds me a little bit, Pete, of Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, without the steroids, without the performance-enhancing drugs, so don't be inferring anything nefarious from what I'm saying, but just that this is something people will tune in for, Saquon and Derek. And it's rare, of course, that it's not a quarterback who wins NFL MVP. I kind of go back to the idea of Lamar versus Derrick Henry and the fact that they may split votes, right? Because who's more valuable? Is it Henry? Is it Lamar? And then that leaves an opening for guys on other teams, but Saquon has been a steal as well and a find. So good for the Ravens. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I didn't mean to interrupt. It's something, though, considering what we heard in the offseason about contracts for running backs and how, we can't give Saquon Barkley this contract. The running back is being phased out. It's like too
devalued.
Two-back system, blah, 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 blah. Meanwhile, these two are in the thick of things for a possible MVP. That's something.
It is. And Derek mentions that, too. He says this is raising the bar for everyone and reminding people how much we matter out there. So the Ravens move to 8-4. This is a big win for them. It wasn't just about Jim versus John, though that was pretty cool. And I was saying earlier, it kind of a bit of a throwback for us because the last time the Harbaughs were on opposite sidelines in an NFL game, It was the Super Bowl following the 2012 season, which was our first Super Bowl as a network. So, yeah, the time flies. John, always so complimentary of his brother. In fact, he calls him the best coach in the NFL and raves about him following the third win. So they've matched three times. John's won every time.
Jim is a believer in the players, you know, and he understands it. You know, you build teams around players' strengths, and you build teams around players that love football and players that want to work hard and want to play hard, and they want to come up into the office and they want to be part of a team and be a part of something bigger than themselves. And he just leans into that and loves into that every single day with his guys. And I do believe that's why they respond to him the way they do.
And we're seeing that. But here's a couple of things about the Chargers that you need to know. Even though it's Jim Harbaugh and his defense has been relatively stingy, one of the stingiest in the NFL, there are a couple of things that stand out to me. They are 1-4 against teams with winning records. What does that mean? Not that they aren't a good team. What it means is they are still in the process of building and as a group learning how to be a winning team. Are they taking huge steps? Yes. Is this a team that's finding creative ways to lose like they've done in the past couple decades? Not anymore. And Jim is working on the defense. He's working with his quarterback. That's the position he played in the NFL. He is going to turn it around. He's going to. That passion that he brings, that energy that he brings, it's contagious. But right now, they're still not upper echelon in the NFL, though they're going to give the rest of the AFC wild cards a run for their money. Could likely end up with one of those spots. I think something else that's important too, and Justin Herbert mentioned it, right now, and this is a pattern, so it wasn't just last night against the Ravens, the Chargers average a lot fewer, that sounds dumb. The Chargers average fewer points in the second half. I think it's 8 points in the second half of their games this year. And we're talking about a large sample size now. That is third worst in the NFL post-halftime. So after halftime, they average 8.4 points, and that's among the worst teams in the NFL. And Herbert is asked about kind of that flip between first and second half.
Appreciate the way guys battled and fought there at the end. You know, it's an unfortunate ending. We wanted to score more points, and we didn't do that. And, you know, you got to take a look back at, you know, getting those opportunities in the red zone and making sure that we're converting on third down. I thought we did a good job of limiting turnovers, you know, keeping the ball and doing everything we can. We just got to score more points.
But why do they peter out in the second half? That's certainly something that the teams can look at. Is it about adjustments in the second half? What is it about? And for Herbert, zinging the ball, they had a 10-0 lead in this game before the Ravens came roaring back. But yeah, they're still in the process. He definitely has them pointed in the right direction. As for what John said to younger bro on the field, there was a mic nearby that caught it. It was essentially, "You're a terrific coach. I love you. Congratulations, you're a terrific coach. I love you." I think my favorite clip that came out of this whole Harbowl rendition number three is what Jim said to Laura Rutledge on the broadcast before the game. Each of the sideline reporters talked to one of the brothers, and what he said, and I did quote it on Twix, "I love my brother and I'd lay down my life for my brother, but I would not let him win a football game and he wouldn't want it that way." Can you imagine what it was like for those two growing up 16 years sharing the same bedroom with their dad, who's just like instilled in them that nobody has it better than the Harbaughs? It's kind of campy, but it's kind of fun. I can imagine Thanksgiving with them is highly entertaining. Maybe I can skip mine and go to theirs.
A lot of content.
Yeah, so, right? Radio gold, if you will.
Uh-huh.
A-Law Radio, new photos up because I can't resist. Also on our Facebook page. And then 855-212-4227. Vote for TD of the week. Now, coming up, well, a couple of things from the basketball world. First of all, the Celtics get Kristaps Porzingis back on the court. And second of all, UConn's Dan Hurley has a meltdown. Like, actually got down. He was on the court last night in overtime against Memphis, so we'll get to that. And also, I do love your Thanksgiving miscues and mistakes. They make me feel better, just in case something horribly goes wrong at my Thanksgiving on Thursday. Good morning to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Tatum, behind the back, bounce pass again. Porzingis again. The three is good. Welcome home. So Porzingis lit up the crowd in game one of the finals when he came back. 2:42 to go first half. Jaylen Brown, right-hand dribble, turns the corner, attacks. Oh! Sit up for Porzingis. And the Buddy Cop movie The sequel has begun.
Gladiator what?
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Sean Grady, Cedric Maxwell on Celtics Radio. And yeah, that starting lineup looks a whole lot different with Kristaps Porzingis towering at 7'3", playing in his first game since the Celtics claimed the NBA title 5 months ago. Man, that was a quick 5 months. And yet, felt like a short period of time, like it was yesterday. So KP's out there nailing threes and really like the element that he brings to the table. Obviously, this is why Brad Stevens made the moves that he did last year and changed the lineup and brought in someone not only that he felt like could give them an inside presence and really stretch the court, but a guy who, I mean, let's be fair, you can't create, even with AI, you can't create or replicate in very many places a guy with that type of length and reach. So he alters shots even when he doesn't block shots. 16 points, 6 rebounds, two assists, 1 steal, and a pair of block shots and partridges in a pear tree. In his 23 minutes for Boston, the Celtics were up by nearly 30 at half, so the score not really important. This is a big deal for the champs to get him back on the court and, yeah, for him to feel good after what he felt like was a rehab process that went relatively quickly.
Felt great. Obviously, was a pretty, not super long, but it was a long rehab, and I was itching to get back out there with this team after winning a championship, you know, and yeah, it was a good beginning, good first game back.
I thought he played well. Just were able to get back to some of our defensive versatility. Obviously, a little bit of rim protection, a little bit more physicality on the ball because it was back there, and so I thought he brought that offensively. Just really helped our spacing. So it's good to get him back.
Yeah, it just changes a lot for the Celtics defense, but also what they can do offensively. He did joke, though, about having a flat tire on a couple of different plays because of his lack of conditioning and being in basketball shape. So it's one thing to be an athlete. It's entirely another to be in basketball shape up and down the court. But here's something that's significant. If you're looking for a nerd alert on this Tuesday morning, a Celtics defense last night that recorded a season-high 11 block shots.
Now, nerd alert!
He only had two of them, but that's the point, is that it really does embolden the defense and bolster the defense in a different way. So good stuff for the Boston Celtics to get their not-so-secret weapon that you can't hide anywhere back before Thanksgiving. 855-212-4227. We'll get to some Thanksgiving stuff after the update. But did you see the meltdown, see and hear the meltdown from one Dan Hurley, head coach of the UConn Huskies, who got into overtime against the Memphis, I was going to say Grizzlies, huh? Against Memphis last night. Now, this was a situation that kind of turned more dramatic than I think that it need to be. It wasn't just about calls. It was also about Dan Hurley falling down on the sidelines. And I'm not even sure he knew what was happening. He had kind of lost his mind over a particular offensive foul that was called. He didn't agree with it. It was on a rebound, and it happened with the score tied at that point. They're in overtime. UConn ends up losing to the Memphis Tigers. You're in Hawaii, so I think you need to chill. But anyway, he ends up falling over. So as I said, melodramatic. He drops to his knees, almost like this protest of the call. Like, I can't believe it. You must be kidding me. You've stabbed me in the heart or stabbed me in the back. And then he kind of falls to the floor, really showing up the refs. That's not what the refs want to see on the sidelines, even if they are in Hawaii. So he gets assessed a T and decides he's not going to let it go after the game. Yeah, he was still fired up.
I had a lot of issues with what went on out there in the game. That over the back call at that point of the game, there was no attempt to block out. There was a player on Memphis that made a half-ass effort to rebound that basketball, and Liam McNeely high-pointed that rebound. For that call to be made at that point in the game was a complete joke.
All right, so taking aim at the official who made that call, but he's not done, though, because he was asked about how he ended up on the floor.
I don't know what happened. I might have lost my balance by the absurdity of the call, or I tripped. But if I made that call at that point, I would have ignored the fact that I was on my back.
Why are you on your back?
If I made that call, I would have ignored that.
He's like, if I was the ref that made that call, I would have completely ignored me on the sidelines. I would have been dealing with my own issues and my own business and been embarrassed by making that call. And I would have ignored the fact that a coach just dropped to his knees and fell over on his back. If you haven't seen it, it's fairly humorous. I love Dan Hurley. He's a terrific coach, obviously, but he was milking this for all it was worth and got so melodramatic. He was like an emotional girl on the sidelines, but it still wasn't done if you need more Tuesday morning entertainment.
How you could call that while that game was going on, the way that game was going on, is just beyond me. But I know I've never seen the one ref before. I didn't even know he was a college ref. And then, you know, I'm familiar with the other two, so I'm not surprised.
Ralph! I mean, he is taking aim at anyone and everyone. The cooling down period did not help with Dan Hurley, who, by the way, followed me on X last year. And so I don't know that I'll put anything out there about this, but... The fact that he fell over, seriously, that's a nice touch. I kind of feel like that could qualify for a flopping call. He just flopped right over.
Surprised you didn't get a call.
Well, he got teed up
for it.
Yeah, right. So that's what I mean. Like, the referee was not happy with the fact that he was showing him up. And so he ends up getting teed up. Then there were free throws, which just added. Now, see, if this is your player, what do you tell him? You got to control your emotions. You put us in a really bad spot. But he felt like he was justified because of the call. And it turned out that's not the only reason they lost, of course. But maybe it's a lesson that they can all learn and look back on.
Do you think that him not going to the NBA was because of stuff like this, that he's kind of allowed to have a little more of a longer leash? Maybe in the college game?
Yeah. I mean, he's one of those guys that can pick and choose. And UConn, not only are they paying him more than enough money, as he said, but he feels like they have an opportunity here to win a third consecutive title. And he likes the dominance. But I would agree with you. There is something to being a big fish in a small pond. And while UConn it's part of the greater lake that's college basketball, Storrs, Connecticut, it's you, it's Geno, it's a relatively small pond. There's nothing else in Storrs, Connecticut, except for the college or the university and a few, you know, whatever, dorms and stores that have popped up around it. Storrs is out in the middle of the sticks. It's out in the middle of nowhere, which is why they play half their games in downtown Hartford, which, by the way, is almost an hour away. So, yeah, he is definitely a big fish, like Geno, in a small pond. And I think there is something to be said for dominating what you do and having that comfort zone. But also, you're right, he can be who he is without having to worry about anything.
If he's falling on the sidelines as a Laker coach with LeBron, I don't know how well that's going on.
I mean, LeBron flops. So
that is
maybe
true.
They speak their own same language.
Both flop at the same time.
They're just both flop. It's really funny, actually, if you want to put the flop up from Dan Hurley. Dan Hurley flopped on our show Twix at Amy After Hours so people can see it. And also you can vote for TD of the Week there, 855-212-4227. I need a Thanksgiving meal horror story. Anything, just anything. A cooking faux pas or snafu that went horribly wrong. Only if you can laugh about it now, though, because I don't want you to feel bad. Please don't cry. It's Thanksgiving week. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
Let's begin with Monday Night Football at SoFi.
Hill, the running back, Jackson in the gun. The 49-yard line of Baltimore, 3rd and 2. Shotgun snap. Handoff, Hill runs laterally. Stiff arms, breaks a tackle, 50. Got a block, 40 on the numbers, 30. Far side, foot raise, 20. Far sideline, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Or did he step out of bounds? Let's see where they're marking. Oh, it is a touchdown. Walking the tightrope down the far side.
Kevin Harlan on Westwood 1. The Ravens beat the Chargers 30-23. Mark Jackson with 2 touchdown passes and a touchdown run. On the ground, Derrick Henry, 24 carries, 140 yards. Now to the NBA, and we'll start in Denver.
Brunson looking. Brunson drives, goes inside, finds Anunoby. 40 points for OG Anunoby. As Brunson adds to his career high now with 16 assists.
Jalen Brunson finished with 17 assists to go along with 23 points. Mike Breen had the call on MSG Network. The Knicks beat the Nuggets 145-118. OG Anunoby with a career-high 40 points. Elsewhere in the NBA, the Thunder over the Kings 130-109. Nets 128, Warriors 120. The Mavericks beat the Hawks 129-119. Celtics 126, Clippers 94. Grizzlies 123, Blazers 98. The Magic over the Hornets 95-84. Pacers 114, Pelicans 110. The Pistons over the Raptors 102-100. College basketball, number 2 UConn, taken out by Memphis 99-97. Was number 4 Auburn over number 5 Iowa State 83-81. NHL, the Sharks over the Kings 7-2. Kraken 3, Ducks 2. Jets over the Wild 4-1. Red Wings 4, Islanders 2. Senators 4, Flames 3. Canes over the Stars 6-4. In a shootout, Golden Knights 5, Flyers 4. Blues over the Rangers 5-2. And wins for the Devils, Lightning, and Capitals. I'm Peter Schwartz.
On After Hours, we like you as much as you like us.
I've never been on the radio, so this is new to me, but I always listen to you when I get off work.
Cool.
Oh, my goodness. You're so on right now. You're so on. You stay on.
Thank you.
Don't stop what you're doing.
Hey.
Hi.
You are a superhero of the sports world. You have a very inspiring show.
Thank you for taking my call. I love your show, and you have a great night.
Thanks, Taylor. I appreciate you tuning in Houston, home of my mama.
Hello, Amy. I just wanted to say, in my humble opinion, you're one of the best to ever do it.
Thanks. So positive and happy, and it makes my life happier.
Well, I appreciate it. I try. Feel like a heart to get started when I'm trying.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Call me old school, but hey, I'm a 90s baby. In my 80s Mercedes. I'm a 90s baby. In my 80s Mercedes.
A lot of people want to weigh in about Thanksgiving miscues and faux pas. Also, if you want some entertainment, though beware, a lot of it is slanted in a particular direction. Try going down the rabbit hole on Twix about Dan Hurley and his antics on the sidelines. Oh my gosh. Pete and I just searched online because we're trying to find the full video of him falling to his knees. There are still photos. We can't seem to find the video, but people are ripping him a new one. And yeah, I suggest that he's probably familiar with that. But seriously, they're piling on when they have the opportunity, and also celebrating UConn's first loss.
Right. If you're not a UConn fan or a Dan Hurley fan, you're not that. You're on the other side.
Oh,
right. Yeah, for sure.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now we've got the opportunity to vote for TD of the week. We want for you to weigh in about the moment that deserves that very inspiring honor. One of the touchdowns that we've given you as a candidate is Kobe Bryant, C-O-B-Y. But, I mean, he was playing worthy of the name, if you will, for the Seattle Seahawks against the Arizona Cardinals. Well, why does it matter? Well, it's a division that is very much up for grabs, and the Cardinals had won 4 games in a row, and Kyler Murray had been hearing these whispers of MVP because of how well he'd been playing, both with his legs and with his arm and running the offense. Seahawks defense stymied that. Mike McDonald was thrilled with their progress. Only 2 touchdowns in this game, only 1 in the second half, and that was Bryant returning a Kyler Murray interception, 69 yards for a touchdown, and he had some help, of course. The defense was terrific, but Kobe Bryant is our Defensive Player of the Week, sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. with that big touchdown, that big pick six by the defense, the Seahawks defeat the Cardinals and take over first place, at least for now, in the NFC West. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, throwing up the TD of the Week poll on our Facebook page as well. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. We've been asking you about your Thanksgiving miscues and faux pas, and I've got a couple of them online that I have to share with you. So Rob writes in and says, my first Thanksgiving in 1992, I was 23, a newlywed, and a rookie police officer. Being young and dumb, I decided to say to my wife, hey, you relax. I'll do it. Long story short, dinner turned out great until Leon Lett botched the fumble and my Cowboys lost to Miami. That's awesome. Well, Rob, thank you for sharing that. I'm glad that you recovered, sort of, maybe not in time for Thanksgiving, but also thank you for serving. He was 23. He was a newlywed and dinner went to hell when the Cowboys lost to Miami. That's amazing. Thank you for sharing. We'll retweet some of these at Amy After Hours. Now on Facebook, there's some good ones as well, but I know we got a couple who want to weigh in on the phones. Rob is listening in Florida. Rob, welcome to After Hours.
Hi.
Hi.
This happened a few years ago. Our sister-in-law and brother-in-law were hosting a family Thanksgiving dinner. And as we pulled into our house, the fire truck pulled in right behind us. And we started up the walk, and my mother-in-law came running out of the house yelling, fire, fire.
Oh, no.
End result, my brother-in-law was trying to deep-fry a turkey, and he had left the lid off. Started to rain. The hot oil splashed on the deck, catching the deck on fire.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, no. I hope it wasn't a total loss, the deck.
Well, not exactly. I mean, the end result, the house was fine, but the end result was a partially burned deck and no turkey for Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, well, let's hope I don't do that. Thankfully, we don't have a deck, but we do have a brand new laundry room in the back of the house right near the stove, so I don't want to be doing that.
Be careful.
Okay. Happy Thanksgiving to you, Rob.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
Derek in Arizona. Derek, welcome to After Hours.
How you doing, man?
I'm good, thank you.
My Thanksgiving faux pas was somewhat similar. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law invited us all over.
Uh-huh.
And he wanted to have that big ceremony where he brings the turkey in. And he was going to deep fry it. And I went outside and he hadn't completely thawed the turkey, so there was still ice on there.
Uh-huh.
He dropped it in there, and then 2-3 seconds later, it's up about 400-500 feet in the air.
Oh, my gosh. You saw this?
And there I am standing there with my hat on my chest going, ground control to Major Tom. And we never saw the turkey again.
Oh, no.
Come to find out that there was a reason being why it had landed on a neighbor's roof.
Oh my gosh.
On the very next street.
You're serious. It shot up in the air and landed on a neighbor's roof.
Yes, it did. But on a positive note, on that Thanksgiving, because I'm originally from Detroit, the Lions won that year. So I figured, you know what? Shoot a turkey in the air, the Lions win.
Oh, no. Don't try to replicate that.
The tradition.
Anything for a win.
There you go. Derek, oh my gosh, you made my morning. Thank you for sharing that story.
You're welcome.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Have a good day and happy Thanksgiving.
I thought that only happened in movies. That is phenomenal. I mean, the fact that no one got injured makes it a good story, but it landed on the neighbor's roof. Carla is in North Dakota. Carla, welcome to After Hours.
Hello, Amy.
Good morning.
Good morning. What a privilege to speak to you.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. I'm glad you're a everyday gratitude gal like I am. So Thanksgiving is for getting together and having a lot of fun or just with your family.
Yes.
I don't have as good a faux pas as some of the callers have had, but I'll tell you what, I'm originally from the South, So in my day, with four of us girls, we had to baste turkey all day.
Ugh.
You know?
Yeah.
Pull off the foil and baste turkeys. Well, up here I have learned, as we're cooking for the community at the church, that these roaster bags, we buy the turkeys and the foil roasters,
right,
and the bags.
Yep.
And send them home with our best cooks because our kitchen is big enough to do all of the things we need to do unless people chip in and do it at their house.
Right.
So I was wondering if you'd ever heard of those roaster bags.
I have, actually. And I think I've used it with my mom in the past. And I remember that it was a little bit of a pain just because you had to, like, grease up the inside of the bag. But that it did work well. Do you think I should try that?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Okay. I can do that.
It keeps it very moist.
All right. I'll get a bag.
All the way through.
That sounds good. Well, I hope you have an awesome Thanksgiving. Thank you so much for calling.
Oh,
and thank you for
too.
Listening.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you, Carla. We'll get to more of these on our show tonight because it's our hump show. But I did see a few on our Facebook page that I want to share with you just quickly because they're funny. John says, don't let your new doggy eat scraps from the table. I had a friend who let his do that on Thanksgiving. The dog pulled the turkey off the table and ran and hid with it. Oh, yeah, that sounds like something the new dog would do. Oh, my gosh. Another one, Jared. Me and my friends wanted to do a Friendsgiving. I said I'd cook the turkey. I went to the store. I found a kit. Said to place the turkey in the bag with all the fixings and place into the oven. The bag would keep all the juices in, blah, blah, blah. Well, I did, but apparently the bag expands while cooking. Yep. That would have been fine if not for the oven wasn't electric. The bag expanded, began touching the heating coils. It was melting onto the turkey and causing a lot of smoke. Needless to say, my turkey cooking days didn't go any farther than that. All right, we'll do more of this tonight. Have a great Tuesday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.